So on the bottom of the first page, if you're following along, on the last paragraph, the first section of the paragraph has been discussing a lot of different things. He's been focusing a lot about Olam Haba and our role in Olam Hazeh. He's going to continue with that. Just one of the words of introduction that I said was that the Vilna Gaon says that there's no extra words. So we're going to see that obviously he develops these ideas. It's not very repetitious per se. So continuing on. V'hine sama kosh baruch hu la'adam b'makom sh'rabim bo ha'marchikim oso mimenu yisbarach. That Hashem places us and placed us in this world where there are many, many things that could distance us from what we're supposed to do. I think that is extremely obvious, right? That if we just think about our lives for 5 seconds, to know there's so many things that pull us in different directions and away from what it should be. V'heim heim hataivos hachamrios, these that he's referring to, are the physical desires. Asher im yimashech acharehen, hine hu misrachek, v'holich min hatov amiti. That if a person is drawn after this physicality, then a person is going to be distancing himself from the truth. V'nimsa shehu musam be'emes b'toch hamelchama hachazaka. And he says, in reality, and we find that we're really placed in the midst of a war, of a huge battle. Basically, all of life is a difficult battle with the Yetzer Hara, with things that we're constantly plagued with. Just to share one small fact, this is not tied to this, but I'm going to relate it to this. When it came to teaching, so we once had a professional development where someone is very experienced and studies teaching. She told us that a teacher has over 1,000 judgment calls a day. 1,000. And just the thing, obviously if I were just would have guessed the number, I guess like 100, 200, but like every moment you're constantly thinking like, should I do this, should I do that, should I say something to the student, should I call, whatever it may be, you're constantly doing it. So here I just bring that up because we are constantly, at all moments of our life, we are being pulled in different directions. And I want to just bring up a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yigimel on the base. The Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yigimel discusses how the following machlokas. It says that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were debating for 2.5 years. Obviously, Hillel and Shammai had ongoing debates. Now, most of the time, the Gemara doesn't state how long the debate was. I assume, honestly, it wasn't necessarily so long, the average thing. Like, is this mutar, is this asar, tahar, tameh, whatever it may be. So the Gemara in Erevin says they're having the following discussion for 2.5 years. Imagine every day you show up to shir and it's like, what are we learning about today? Same thing we did yesterday, for 2.5 years. What was the debate? What was the discussion? Whether it was a good thing or whether it wasn't a good thing that Hashem created us. It seems a little strange to even debate. Like, obviously, Hashem knows everything. If Hashem created us, should be a good thing. And yet, the Gemara concludes that they paskened, better to have not been created than have been created. A wild conclusion. It's crazy. And what does the Gemara say? The Gemara then concludes and says, therefore, the fact that we are created, yimashmesh b'masav. And says, yifashmesh b'masav. Basically, once we're here, we have to really think about our actions. We have to do a really good job because there's so much temptation and so many potential pitfalls that they said, like, it's not even worth it. It's not even worth having been here. I mean, honestly, when I learned that Gemara, when I heard that, if you just look around the world, if you look at the average Jew, the average Jew is not necessarily doing the right thing. And it's almost like when I think about, let's say, like I'm a high school teacher, so I think about these kids, so my students, they're working really hard to get to the college. And if they maybe get to like a certain percentage of them will get into that top school. And if they get to that top school, they're going to need to work really hard to get to the top grad school. And if they get to the top grad school, maybe they'll work really hard to get to, and like at every single level, people are being pushed off. Right? It's more difficult and difficult to climb the ladder, to really succeed. So the amount of challenges that we have, like when I were to think about this, to equate this, like if so, obviously, there's so many things that could push a person away religiously, right? Whether a person comes from, Hashem, if a person has a family that either is not religious, like I've seen this, where one parent is very religious, the other parent is like not religious at all or anti-religious, which their family is like that. And obviously you can't expect the kid to grow up yashar. You could have issues there. You could have issues with the teacher. You could have issues with friends. There's so many components that everything has to be aligned. So the Gemara says, but we shouldn't have been created. It's too hard. It's too difficult to really stay from. But once we're here, we have to do our best. And I brought that idea up because over here, when I read the words, when I was reviewing to prepare for this, when I saw, like, we are here b'soch melchoma hachazaka, in the midst of a war. I was thinking about that. Like the constant struggles. And he continues, Ki kolin yonei ha'olam, bein letov ben lemutav, and he's going to explain what he means. That everything, the things that are for good, or rather not for good, hinei heim nesiyonos la'adam, everything is a test for man. And he gives the following analogy, ha'oni mitzad echad va'osher mitzad echad. You might think, so it's obvious that if someone's poor, that's a challenge. Right? If you think about, let's say, like the challenges that people faced in the Holocaust is a very extreme example, but like to expect someone to come out and be so firm and certainly in it to try to be as firm as one can, it's like amazing when we read the stories about people who wait online to try to put on tefillin that someone smuggled in. The reason why we're so enamored by that is because we would never imagine someone could do that. And so one of the huge nisyonos is poverty. A person is so poor and they have to feed their family. We would do anything. Someone would do anything. They'd steal, whatever it may be, and you might be angry at Hashem for putting you in that situation. But he says, here's the chiddush also. It's not just that. Va'osher mitzad echad. Even wealth is a huge challenge. Kenyan shamar shlomo, as Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, pen espa v'chichashti, v'yamarti mi Hashem. Because maybe you're going to become extremely successful and you're going to say, who's Hashem? I don't need Hashem. I did it on my own. Upeni varish veganafti v'chulei. Or maybe a person will be impoverished, will be poor, and they're going to have to steal. So whatever it may be, they're constant nisyonos. There's a story I heard about a man who was at the Kotel. I forgot who the Rav was involved. The Rav involved who saw this and who this is about. But there was a man davening at the Kotel, and he was like crying like crazy. And the Rav decided, like, let me speak to him after. There must be something going on in his life. Let me see what I could do. And he spoke to him afterwards, introduced himself, and he says, how's your family doing? He's like, great, Baruch Hashem. He's like, do you have a job? How's your job? He's like, yeah, my job is great. Do you have any children? He's like, yeah, I have a few kids. How are they? Are they healthy? He's like, yeah, they're doing great. He's like, so why were you crying like crazy? What was going on? He's like, because I really appreciate that Hashem gave me that everything's going well. And like that's a chiddush, because the times, certainly in my life, the times where I struggled the most, times where things were the most difficult, were the times when I was able to daven so well. And sometimes when someone has so much, those are the quickest davenings, those are the times we're spacing out the most, times where sometimes we turn away from Hashem when things are going so well. He continues, Hashalva mitzad echa v'aisir mitzad echa. He summarizes by saying sometimes just tranquility on the one hand, that could turn a person to use a huge challenge. V'ayisur mitzad echad, but suffering is also a huge challenge. Ad shenimtzeis hamechon elav panim v'achar. And then your person will find themselves in war on both sides. The footnote here in the Sefer I'm using quotes from Yechezkel Sarna, who says a very interesting insight, that when it says, like here, just at face value, it seems like he's saying, yeah, there's constant struggles all around. But he says, no, why does he say in front of you and behind you? And he says, because there's certain things, let's say the poverty was an example, something in front of you. It's obvious that that's a religious challenge that someone would have. But wealth, that's something that's behind you. And that's not something that someone would assume is a challenge, but it really is a challenge. And he said, that's why in Marv we say, v'haser satan melfaneni me'achrenu, to remove the satan, the Yetzer Hara, from in front of us and from behind us. Get rid of all these challenges that we face. Continuing. If a person's a true warrior and they're able to conquer, to overcome this battle and to succeed, to be victorious, then he'll be complete. As we spoke about it, he said that phrase a lot earlier. That person will then cling to Hashem, as we discussed last week. And then he'll leave through, of course, when he passes away, he'll leave through the entranceway, and he's going to enter the illuminated palace to be there, Be'or HaChaim, in light of life, with meaning clinging to Hashem. Ukfi Hashir Asher Kavash es Yitro v'Savosav v'Nishrachik min Amarchik Moso me'atov v'Nishtadal l'Davik Bo kin Azigev v'Yismach Bo. And he says basically to the commensurate to how much, how successful you are, that's how much reward you're going to get. meaning even if you make it into the palace, everyone's at a different level. It's the equivalent of, if you were to speak to someone, I once, when I was in high school, so I went to a number of concerts. One of the concerts I went to was in Central Park. Now, in order to play in Central Park, this is a rock band, in order to play in Central Park, like, use the huge field, like, you have to be very established, of course. And there are tens of thousands, potentially probably over 100,000, I haven't checked, like, the attendance of the concert, but it was a lot of people. I was all the way in the back. So, I made it to the concert. I was there. But I didn't have front row seats. I was watching a monitor that was extremely annoying because it was off sync with the music. So you hear one thing, but what you see, how you see him singing, is not in line, not in sync. So it was a little frustrating, but like I was very happy I was there. It was not a religious experience, but a good experience. Everything was clean. Trust me. And so here, it's like the difference between being in the bleachers and being in the front row. And obviously, to how successful you are in life, that's how much of the Olam Haba you're going to get. Continue the next paragraph. Im tamik od ba'inyan. And if you delve deeper into this, tira, you'll see. Ki ha'olam nivra l'shimesh ha'adam. He's going to be discussing this idea now at greater length. That the world was created for the service of man. The world is here for us to utilize it. It's not where, oh, Hashem created the world. It's like, you know what? Let me make some people. I have to put something in there. Someone has to benefit it. It was like Hashem had kavana that the world is just for us, for our pleasure. And he says, Amnam, hine hu omed v'shikha gadol. And there's a tremendous weight and balance that's involved in this. Ki ima adam nimshach achara olam mishrachek miboro. Because if a person runs after the world, after the desires in the world, hine hu miskalkel umekalkel haolam imo. Then he's going to damage himself. He's actually going to make the world a more damaged place. V'im hu, I'm going to elaborate on this shortly. V'im hu sholit ba'atmo. V'nidbak b'vor mishtamesh mena olam. Rak liyot lo l'siyo l'avodas baro. But if he's able to overcome and to have the inner strength to do what's right, and he doesn't say, by the way, he doesn't say to totally remove yourself from the world, because that would seem like the opposite, but he says to use the world to use the world only when it's necessary for serving Hashem. Meaning it is necessary to use the physical world. He's not saying you shouldn't have anything physical in the world, but we have to use it for the sake of serving Hashem. And he says when a person does that, then he becomes elevated, and the world itself will be elevated because of him. And he's going to shortly give examples from this. When I saw this, I was thinking about the idea in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet, discusses how a person should constantly view themselves and their mitzvos and their averos. And he says that when it comes to a person doing a mitzvah, he says, we usually think like, okay, I'm doing a mitzvah, it's not a big deal. Or, chas v'shalom, I'm doing an avera, it's not a big deal. What's this going to do to anything? And he says, and you could think about this, obviously, like people learn Hilchos Tshuva. If people learn it, it's usually during Elul, Rosh Hashanah time, but it applies throughout the entire year. But he says that, how should a person view it? He says, he happens to say in the previous Mishnayos, that not only is a person judged, let's say, during the year, but the world is judged. And he says, when you do a mitzvah, you have to think that everything until that point, not just in your life, is equal balance, which people have heard that idea, right? You have to view yourself equal balance and you want to tip the scale. But you have to view yourself as if the entire world is even balanced. And if you do a mitzvah, you're tipping the scale for the entire world to good, to be judged favorably. And if you do an avera, you have to tip the scale for the entire world. You're tipping the scale for the entire world to be judged lera, for bad. It's a very intense idea to think that you have the world on your shoulders. Another idea also to think about, Nefesh HaChaim discusses this, where a person's actions have tremendous ramifications on the world. The concept of what's known as the butterfly effect, where the butterfly could flap its wings over here and it could actually make something much more a storm on the other side of the world. It's a scientific thing, right? Like real, heavy, serious ramifications, something else on the other side of the world. So in Ruchnius, in spirituality, a similar idea, that a person could do a mitzvah right here, and he thinks, what am I doing? But Nefesh HaChaim explains, actually doing tremendous good for the world. You don't even see it. And the Chavetz Chaim has said, think about this next time you go to the bathroom. Chavetz Chaim has said, not in the bathroom, but Chavetz Chaim said that when you say Asher Yatzar with Kavana, you're clearing 50 hospital beds. You're bringing 50 people and healing them to take them out of the hospital. It's a wild thing to even... I'm not the Chavetz Chaim, I didn't say that. But you see this idea that when he says when a person serves Hashem, the world is elevated. When a person doesn't serve Hashem, the world is lower. So it's not just a nice thing, like a cute phrase for what he wants to say for his point, but it's like, it's a real thing. Continuing, Kihine, Iloi gadol hula briot kulam biyosa mesham she'adam hashalim hamekudash b'kdushaso yisbarach. There's tremendous elevation for all of mankind, for all of creation, when they're used to serve a person in their spiritual journey. And that person will then be able to become closer and sanctified with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And now here comes his examples. How do we know that man is here, the idea that man is, that the world is here for man, and that the world will be uplifted, the world has desire for this at all? That there was a great light, and Rashi discusses this in the first paragraph, I believe, of Bereishis, where there's a great light that Hashem basically hid away for the tzaddikim. It was like too holy. Kevan, says the Gemara in Chagiga, Yudbeis, Kevan shara or shagnozo kosh baruch la tzaddikim. When the light saw, this is talking about the light itself with its thoughts, when the light saw that it was going to be hidden away for the tzaddikim, samach, it was happy. Shenemar or tzaddikim ismach. The light for the tzaddikim, it was happy. Uve inyan avnei hamakom shalakach Yaakov v'samer ashosav. Amru, the Gemara in Chulam that study Aleph Amvei says that when Yaakov Avinu, when he went down to sleep, and he took the 12 stones that were around him, they were fighting. Alay ani atzadir proshi. Right, so Gemara says Amru Rabbi Yitzchak ben Lamei Sheniskabtu, kulan the makom echa, vaisa kol achas omeres, alai yaniach tzadik groshi. All of them were fighting. They wanted to be closer to Yaakov Avinu. They wanted to be closer to the tzadik. They wanted to be elevated. They wanted the kedusha, what is meant for the world, to service Hashem. They wanted it to be done through them. He continues, vihine, al ha'ikar hazeh, heirunu zechron l'vracha medrash koheles. Based on this principle, explained to medrash koheles, sha'amru zel l'shonam, re'eis ma'asel lukim v'gomer. You should see, observe Hashem's deeds. B'sha shabara kadosh baruch hu es Adam harishon. When Hashem created Adam harishon, nitala v'chaziro akol ilane gan Eden v'yamar lo. Hashem gave him a tour. Gave him a tour of Gan Eden. He says, look at this tree. You see what this tree is? Re'e masai kama na mishubachim hin. Look how good like my deeds are. Look how praiseworthy these trees are, and my actions. V'chol ma shebarasi, says Hashem, everything I created, b'shvilcha barasi. I created for you, Adam. I did this all for you. Tein datcha shelo tikalkel v'sachariv es olami. Think carefully that when you do something, before you do something, to not destroy what I created, to not destroy my world. Because I did it for you. If you make the wrong things, then there are going to be negative ramifications. And he concludes with a summing up this idea, klal shadavar, the rule, the general rule that we've been saying, ha'adam lo nivra bavur matzava b'olam hazeh, a person is not created for his place in this world, ella bavur matzava b'olam haba. Rather, we're created for the goal, for olam haba. Ella, rather, shematzava b'olam hazeh, hu emtsai l'matzava b'olam haba, shehu tachliso. Rather, we're here, we're situated in this world to use the means of this world to get to Olam Haba, which is our ultimate goal. Alkein, therefore, Timtza Ma'amrei Chachmenu Zachron Lebracha, Rabim Kulam Besignon Echad, Medamim Ha'olam Hazeh Limkom Uzman Achana. He says, there are a lot of Ma'amrei Chazal, there are a lot of teachings from the Chachamim that teach this idea. He says, I'm not making this up. You should realize there are a lot of things that speak about how we have to prepare ourselves here for Olam Haba, like we were discussing last week. Of course, we want to focus on this world, and we want to think about to not serve Hashem for Olam Haba, but the importance of recognizing that Olam Haba is the ultimate place where we're able to get close, where we are able to feel the tremendous closeness to Hashem, and the only way we're able to get that is by serving Hashem in this world through the mitzvot that He's given us. And he explains this idea of serving Hashem in this world for the next world as follows. Va'olam haba l'makom hamnucha ve'achilas hamuchan kvar. That olam haba, serve Hashem for in this world as a preparation, the next world is going to be a place of rest, of and eating basically that which you have prepared. V'hu masha amru ha'olam hazeh dome leprozdor. That we saw that one already stated, that this world is just like the entranceway. Kemo shagasav til el, as we stated earlier. Hayom la'asosa macha l'kabel schar, and the Gemara in Erev and Kaf Beis Amud Aleph says that today you work, and tomorrow you're gonna get paid, you're gonna get rewarded. Right? Work hard now, enjoy it later. And the next one in Gemara Nevo Zohar and Daf Gimel, Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochal BaShabbos. If someone is going to work hard on Erev Shabbos to be able to get food ready, then you're going to have what to eat on Shabbos. But if you're not going to work hard on Erev Shabbos, if you're going to be lazy and you're not going to work, you're not going to get your salary, you're not going to have anything to eat on Shabbos, and of course, what could you expect? How could you expect for that to happen? Holam hazeh doma liyabasha, the last one, Kohal Shrabba Aleph Tevav. Holam hazeh doma liyabasha, this world is like the dry land. Va'olam haba liyam. And olam haba is like the sea. Now, obviously, in a certain sense, of course, the sea is finite. But when you're standing at the shore and you're looking out the sea, the endless sea, it goes on forever, it looks like. V'ka'ila rabbi mazeh derech. He says there's so many examples like this to show that Chachamim were sensitive to the idea that you have to prepare here in order to benefit there, to benefit for the next world. V'tira, the MS, and you should see for real, shekvar lo yuchal shum bel seichel lahamish tachlis b'riyas ha'adam hulam ha'tava b'olam hazeh. This is, I think, this idea right now, this paragraph, I paraphrase for some of the most, really one of the most important paragraphs to think about, where he says, someone who's a thinking person, a thoughtful person, should realize that it can't be that we're created for this world. Because what is life in this world? What's it really? Who's someone who's really, purely happy? Totally tranquil life. Nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong in life. He says, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Sadi Yud, Yimesh Nosenu Vahem Shivim Shana. We say this in Davening Psukei Zimra on Shabbos. That the days of our life are 70 years. V'im b'gvuros shmonim shana. And if we're strong, if we live a strong, healthy life, we'll live 80 years. V'rabam amal v'aven. David Mel says, and most of those years are toil and pain. And he continues, V'kama mine tzar v'chalong mach ovim mutrados. How many types of suffering and illnesses and pain and burdens does a person have? A person goes through all of those things in life constantly. V'achar kalzos, and after all that, hamaves, then you die. Echad mine elef, lo yimatzeh shirar ve'ha'olam lo ha'naos v'shalva amitis. Not even one in a thousand will live a life where they have no worries, no pain, no burdens, no sickness. Does not even one in a thousand have a life like that. V'gam hu, and even that person, even if he lives 100 years, so one in a thousand people maybe, and even if that person lives 100 years, kfar avar batam an olam, then that's it, you're done, and you're out of this world, and that's it. He says it can't be. There's no way Hashem would create us just for that. That can't be the purpose. It has to be something more. He says, v'lo'od, and not only that, that if it were the case that Hashem created us, no, maybe Hashem did just create us just for this world. And if that's the case, lo haya tzarech mepnei zeh shetinupach bo neshama kol kach hashuva ve'alyona shetei gedol liyoter me'el ha'malachim atmam. If Hashem just created us for this world, to try to be as, enjoy it as much as we could by serving Him and by having as much of a peaceful or healthy life as possible, which he's saying is almost impossible, he's saying even if that's the case, it makes no sense Hashem would give us a neshama, such a holy neshama, that the angels can't even, are jealous of, basically. Kol shekein shehi eina motza shum nachas ruach b'chol inuge zeh ha'olam. Because if you think about the neshama doesn't get an ounce of pleasure from this world. So the neshama is the holiest thing imaginable. Hashem put it in us, breathed it into us, and yet doesn't get any benefit from this world. Meaning our physical body, like we are comprised, part of the struggle, he didn't elaborate on this, but when it comes to like our melchama, is that we are both a physical body. The name Adam, Adam Arishon, Adam comes from Adama, Adama. He's a physical person made from the ground, but he had a soul from Tachas Kisei HaKavod, from the top, that comes in. And we have this dual component inside of us that's constantly struggling. Which one's going to win out? And the neshama doesn't get any benefit. When a person has steak, that is our body enjoying the steak, if you like steak. And when a person learns Torah, our guf doesn't enjoy the Torah, it's our neshama. It's who we are. It's our neshama that enjoys it. So he's saying it doesn't make any sense for Hashem to give us such a holy thing if we're only created for this world, when it gets no benefit, no pleasure from this world.
But this idea of the neshama having an aliyah is only after death. You can't, your neshama is not elevated in your life?
So,
not that it's separated from the body, but that it has a level of elevation.
So, I mean, refine, a person certainly...
The purpose of life to refine that
neshama. No. So, of course, meaning the purpose of life is to align our guf and neshama as much as we can to make it where we're constantly both serving Hashem on the same path.
Okay.
There's an idea that our neshama, like we say, in Birkos Shachar, we say before in davening, Elokai neshama shenatata bi tahorahi. Our neshama is tahar, neshama is pure. And the idea is that our neshama, no matter how bad a person is, there's not even a shemetz of tuma in it. There's not even a drop of anything impure. What happens is that a person, it's like, imagine, let's say, and this probably happened to you, where like you've lost a cell phone and you ask someone to call it and you hear like a very low muffling sound. Where is it? And you go over to the couch and you see it's like under the cushion or something. So when you take it out, it's a loud ring, but it was just extremely muffled. So when a person does the wrong thing, what they're doing is they're taking the holy neshama and they're just dumping garbage on top of it. So the person seems terrible because they're just lowering down their neshama. And their neshama is still holy, but they're putting other stuff on top of it. It's hard for it to come out. But I assume our neshama can be elevated. I mean, our neshama, the mitzvahs that we do really bring out our neshama and are able to maximize who we are. But maybe it goes from just being totally pure, but just maximizing it and polishing it and making it as great as it could be. But certainly,
after death, there's no more opportunity to do mitzvah. So I guess the idea is that we're doing something here in order to elevate on some level.
Yeah, no, it's right. So I guess it has to be, right? Like you're saying, I mean, it has to be that. Obviously, the neshama through the Torah mitzvahs does get elevated, and then, like, wherever we are after we die, so that's where it is. Now, there is an idea, certainly, and this is what Kaddish comes from, and this is where doing mitzvahs or giving tzedakah, le'ilui nishmas, that a person in this world could still elevate that neshama even after they've passed. And there's also an idea that even on Rosh Hashanah, a scary idea, but even on Rosh Hashanah, it's either Rosh Hashanah or the Yarta, I can't remember, where a person is... The deceased are judged in Shemayim for what they've left in this world. And whether, let's say, for example, a class thing, let's say if I'm able to be a good Rebbe and have a positive impact on a student, then when that student is doing mitzvah, so I get a certain amount of credit for that. So even if someone's passed away, then the stock could still go up. Or Chas V'Shalom, Rahman Latzan, someone had a negative impact on the world and did something bad, and then someone's doing sins because of that person, then they go down because of that.
I'm just wondering, in this discussion, because they say that sleep, right, that during sleep, your neshama actually leaves your body,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we say modani, that God, you know, had enough faith in us to give us back the neshama, the faith that we'll be better, we'll do better, right? He shows great love and faith and mercy. So this idea that we go through this death-like experience where our neshama is separated from the guf.
Mm-hmm.
So in what aspect, when the neshama is not in the body, what's it doing? Where does it go? You know, is it being elevated?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Certainly, I mean, this might be obvious, but obviously then Hashem decides assuming we're alive, to give it back to us. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's like a judgment for it, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it goes. I'm not sure exactly what happens. It's a good question.
Why does it create tumma though, when it either when it leaves or when it reenters? This whole idea of negavasa.
The idea is that there are different levels of tumma. One idea I've heard is so the avi avos hatumma, like father. The greatest level of tumma is a dead body. That itself is the greatest level, and everything else goes after that. And one of the ideas is that the whole, what tumma is a loss of potential, something just negative and not being able to do anything. So when you have a dead body, so there's nothing there that a person can continue to do, and that itself is a source of impurity. It's one idea I've heard related to the concept of tumma. But you're asking good questions. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. I have to look more into the...
Maybe it's not Yisrael. Maybe, like, if we are our souls, by Hashem giving us back the body in the morning, it's like a negative thing. Maybe.
Giving us back the body?
Well, because we are really our souls. Hashem just gives us the body to use. But the soul's like, well, what can I last forever?
So the body is just the case, just the casing for the soul.
That's what I think.
In Modim and Shmon Esrei, we discussed how Hashem... like, is lending us our body. And meaning we thank Hashem for that idea. The reason, one of the reasons why tattoos are usher is because it's not our bodies to make a permanent stamp on it, to blemish it in some way. So we have to treat our bodies properly, certainly. I just wanted to do two more.
Earrings. Piercings for earrings.
I was literally asked that question today in class. Because
a player girl.
By a girl, about a boy. Earrings, I believe, are prohibited. Because it happens to be, it's interesting, where certain things, based on society, could change. So if we were in a society where all men had their ears pierced, then it wouldn't be considered begging Isha for a person to do that. But now we're in a society where the average man certainly does not have their ears pierced. Something that's more feminine, then it would be an issue related to that.
But it's not an issur for women to have theirs.
Correct, it's not an issur. Yeah, yeah. If you're saying related to body piercings.
Right?
That's even with pants.
I will say that I do believe, and I've heard this from women, that if you don't wear earrings, then it actually closes up. That it might not be as permanent as one would think. I'm not sure if that's the only thing, or maybe for aesthetics, or maybe for women. I'm not sure exactly. It's a good question.
What about pants? Because most women in the world wear pants.
So most women do wear pants, so that's a very big discussion. According to most poskim don't allow it, but there has been like a havamina to be like, well, maybe they should be allowed to, but it's not necessarily. It is one of those things like you're bringing up, but like most women do wear pants, so. It is something that, because of that, is not as black and white as it used to be.
You're saying men shouldn't wear pants because it's bag of
the Asia, right? Saying, it's become like a unisex clothing.
That's right.
What would we wear? Let's just do two more paragraphs to like finish, close up this thought. It says, "Humash shalimdu zechron levracha midrash kohales zol l'shonam." The gam hanefesh lo timale. It says in midrash in Kohales Rabbah, and the nefesh, the soul, isn't satisfied. Mashal mahadavar doma. This is a mashal similar that brings this out. The roni shenasa bas melech. Imagine a stam villager, like a farmer, who marries the princess. Im yavi la kol mashav olam. Imagine it's her birthday. If he brings her everything, he has, like, oh, this is the best milk. I just milked this from my favorite cow, what are you trying to give it? And I made a beautiful bracelet out of straw. Like, what's he going to give her? So even if he gives her everything he could, einam chashuvim laklum. It's not chashuv at all to her. She keep asmel. She's a princess. Kach hanefesh, so to the soul. Either heves ala kol madane olam. Even if we give the soul every pleasure of the world, einam klum la. It's nothing to it. Lama, why? Shehi min al yonim. Because it's so lofty. It's from the Yom, it's from Shemayim. The Chayin Amar of Sein Zechron al-Levracha, Al-Karcha Ata Notzar, Al-Karcha Ata Nolad. Against your will you are created. Against your will you are formed, against your will you are born. Ki Ein HaNeshama Heves HaOlam HaZeklal. The Neshama didn't want to come here. The Neshama despised wanting to come into the world. El Adrabah, Moeses Bo. despised, it loathed coming here. Im Canaan, therefore, Vada lo haya bore yisbarach briat l'tachlis shehu neged chuka v'nimas mimena. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would certainly not create a person for a goal that, like, that's against its nature, that it wouldn't want, that the soul would not want to be here. Ella briyaso shala adam matzava holam haba. Must be that a person's focus and goal is for his place in Olam Haba. The Alkin Nitna Bo Neshama Zos. And that's why Hashem gave us the Neshama for the next world. Meaning, even after we die, our Neshama goes on forever. Ki lo ra'u lavod. And that's why it's fitting to serve. Uva yuchala adam lekabel sachar bimkomo uzmano. And then a person will receive the reward in the proper measure, in the proper time. Shlo yadavar nimas el neshmaso ka olam hazeh. Because there's nothing in this world that the neshama is going to enjoy. El adra b'neha b'nechma b'menev zeu pashut. And of course, the neshama is going to be for the next world. And it's that the neshama is going to love. And closing, of course, I brought up that this is, I think, some of the most powerful paragraphs, because this is something that is so MS when you read it, and it's not something we think about as much. That we are here, and we have so many challenges in front of us, and to realize that, like, it can't be we're created just for this world, with all the difficult things that go on in life, and it must be that our neshama that's so holy isn't here just for this, which doesn't get any pleasure from the world whatsoever.
These are very inspiring ideas, but this is where the rubber, hits the road for me. It's like, that's the meaning of life? Is everything I'm doing is for the future, not for impacting the world in a, not for tikkun olam, not for making an impact on, positive impacting the world for other people, for my family, for my community, that it doesn't have an inherent value in and of itself.
So,
because just to live and I can see it being inspiring, and mm-hmm. maybe it's a good way of battling the Yetzer Hara and that kind of thing. But to really wrap my head around the idea that my whole purpose in life is to to ensure that my neshama has a good whatever in the afterlife. It sort of sucks a lot of out of this for me.
I mean, to make your point even stronger, you allude to this, but it almost seems like selfish, like we just care about ourselves. I think what he would say is when we're discussing serving Hashem and bringing up the neshama and like that whole, how is that accomplished? It's accomplished by those things. He's not discussing the means. The only means that he's brought about are very general. He says, like, and therefore Hashem places here to do mitzvos. But the mitzvos, the goal of the mitzvos, why do we have mitzvos? Meaning, there are many, many mitzvos that are ben adam l'chaveiro. The greatest sin is chilul Hashem, and doing, meaning helping other people. There's so many mitzvos that are so positive to what you're, like, exactly what you're describing, and that is the means and the goal of what we should do in order, though, that not just for us, not just to elevate ourselves, like you're saying, you're right, that of course it should be selfless.
See, I'm trying to square with, there are other things that I'm inspired by, right? Right? Bakish Shalom, Tamfehu. Those are certain sort of precepts about seeking peace, pursuing peace, for what? For elevating my neshama?
I think I want to take one step back, and I'll conclude with this, that when it comes to this whole work, when it comes to the whole corpus of Musar, it was founded for an individual to work on themselves. Mm. So if you take that mentality of, and remember we discussed that like people were just learning halacha, learning gemara, and they weren't focusing on their midos, and he himself was I can tell you stories about him, but like an amazing person, cared about so many other people. He says, if you work on yourself, that's something that should not be neglected, and that's something that will really elevate the world and elevate you, who you are. Don't just worry about what you know. Don't worry about just your mind. But imagine your midos. That's what it's about. And this whole work is about perfecting us as a human. So it is focused on ourselves, but it's about perfecting ourselves in order to make the world around us a better place.
Okay.